President Scrooge.
Yes.
This is Central Control. Spaceball Commanderette Zircon speaking, sir.
Yes, what is it, Commanderette?
Lord Helmet has just notified us that Princess Vespa is in sight, and Spaceball One is closing in on her.
Good, good.
We have both ships coming up on the Teledar, sir, if you wish to observe.
I'll be down immediately.
Shall I have Snotty beam you down, sir?
I don't know about that beaming stuff. Is it safe?
Oh, yes, sir. Snotty beamed me twice last night. It was wonderful.
All right, I'll take a shot at it. What the hell works on Star Trek?
Happy birthday, Mel Brooks. He's 95 years old. That, of course, is from Spaceballs. I mean, it just hearing Mel Brooks read a line makes me laugh. Thanks for that, Mel. Okay, Rebecca Fife is on a phone line now. She, of course, is the urban wildlife expert and research director at Landmark Pest Management. And if you haven't picked up on it yet, I just have her on once in a while so I can ask questions without having to pay for her services. Well, hi, Rebecca. How are you?
Hi, Steve. I'm doing really well. Just trying to keep the animals and insects at bay for everyone all day.
So with the rain coming, does that change what you guys do? I mean, is that a bigger pest problem or pest time or not so much?
Yeah, definitely. It stimulates certain species of insects for sure, such as ants. We get a lot of increased calls, and also millipedes. They kind of get a little bogged down by water when the water levels rise, so they come into people's houses much more frequently to get up and out of the water.
Well, that's something to look forward to. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number if you've got a question for Rebecca. Okay, Rebecca, Thursday I was doing the show. I got a series of texts from my wife, and really within an hour, she saw the fox in the backyard, which we think is really cool. She found a family of skunks living under our shed, which we don't think is cool. And then she found a bunny who had gotten his head stuck through a hole in a chain link fence at our neighbor's chain link fence to our property and couldn't get out. So when I went home that night, I poured myself a drink. No, that's not right. So I went to the bunny, put some gloves on, and tried to dislodge the rabbit from the hole. And the poor bunny, you know, the fur was worn away, and it was just so sad. There's nothing I could have done, right? I mean, was that stupid to even try?
You know, sometimes we have to work really hard to get an animal's head out of a fence, and
yeah,
it requires being pushed out at a very specific angle. So we can generally do that without having to tranquilize them by wearing animal hand capture gloves that have layers of Kevlar inside. So I'm not sure, you know, if just a homeowner is going to have the gloves that you need to do that safely without being bitten, since you kind of need to really manipulate the animal's head to get it out. But you can always call a wildlife rehabilitator to come help with that as well.
How often does that happen, Rebecca?
We see it really frequently. Animals
really
get their heads stuck in fences a lot. Yeah. Deer get stuck up on top of fences where they might actually get impaled either in a life-threatening way or a non-life-threatening way. And they have to be gotten off of the fence and then assessed to see if they can survive. Sometimes they've already, you know, kind of succumbed to their injuries by the time we get out there.
Right. Well, so then that's the thing. I went out the next morning first thing because I have bolt cutters, or I have wire cutters, but not strong enough to go through the chain link fence. And I'm like, well, if bunny's still alive, I'll go somewhere, rent some heavy duty bolt cutters and cut it free. But the bunny was gone. Now, here's the thing. Half the bunny was on one side of the fence, half was on the other. So I want to choose to believe it got free, because if it had just been mauled, I think I would have seen more evidence, right?
Yeah, it probably did free itself.
Oh, good. How can you prove it to me? Okay.
Well, I think that when we find them where they can't get out of fences, they usually succumb to stress and die right there in place. So the fact that it was gone probably means that it was able to free itself and hop off
to
eat somebody's landscaping in your neighborhood.
Well, the funny thing is, if it had been eaten by a coyote in the wild, I wouldn't have minded. I wouldn't have minded. That's what happens. But just that it was trapped there broke my heart. Okay, speaking of, you said run away to eat something. We have a text. I have a problem with baby bunnies eating my strawberry plants. What can I do?
Yeah, you and me both. So rabbits are actually the hardest
animal
to catch.
If the pest expert's being done in by bunnies, that's a bad sign, Rebecca.
Yeah, the bunnies totally have the best of me. It's true. So they're the hardest animal that we deal with to catch because there's nothing that I can put in the trap, even if I put fresh green beans and cabbage and vegetables from the store, that are as appealing as the sweet, growing, living clover that grows in your lawn. So I just can't make them as good of an offer as what they have right there. So they're so hard to catch. So the best way to deal with bunnies is really to put some fencing around plants that you highly value. So you need to fence around those strawberries to keep the bunnies from eating them because there's really nothing you can do to get rid of the bunnies in your yard, you know, short of, a lethal solution like shooting them or something, which isn't something that we recommend, and it's not something feasible in a residential neighborhood. So
no, but it is nice to fantasize about once in a while.
Yeah.
We have tulips that the bunnies eat, and you have to really stay on them because they like the tender shoots, so they eat them quickly, right, as soon as they come out of the ground sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we have beautiful flowers, we don't want to put a fence around them. So it's not an aesthetically pleasing solution all the time, but it really is kind of the only solution.
Okay, so near the bunny mishap is I have a shed in the backyard, and Sharon saw a skunk and three baby skunks go under the shed. Again, I'm a softie. If it was a mature skunk, I would have no trouble with the coyotes getting it. I don't really want to force the babies out of their home so young. So this is where you tell me that they flee the nest pretty quickly and don't come back.
Well, that's not quite true. Oh. So they are going to leave the nest. However, skunks will often reuse that den year after year after year. So skunks have much larger litters than other wildlife. So, for example, a squirrel has 1 to 3 young per year. A raccoon has 3 to 4. And skunks have up to 10 young per litter with an average of 7.
Uh-huh.
And they also have higher survival rates because, you know, you mentioned that a coyote might pick them off, but that's actually pretty rare because coyotes learn and they don't want to get sprayed by a skunk. So it's really only owls that are a natural predator for skunks, and there aren't enough owls to control the skunk population.
And the skunks are blind, right? I can't put out a fake owl.
No, they're not blind, but I don't think a fake owl would do anything.
I always thought
skunks,
they did.
You know, they have a lot of bravado because they have that butyl mercaptan musk that they can spray 15 feet. They can direct it from the nipple-like glands under their tail. So they know nobody's going to mess with them. So, you know, it's not a visual deterrent to have an owl. They walk around with a lot of confidence knowing they can spray.
So what does a fella do?
Well, if it were my yard, I would trap them out because I know that that den is just going to be occupied year after year after year. Or you could use a method which we call a barricade or excluder trap set, where we put in a one-way door, the skunks leave, and then we install underground fencing around a stoop, a shed, a deck to keep skunks from using it again in the future. The most humane way to solve wildlife problems is through a process called exclusion, which prevents them from being in areas that they would cause a nuisance situation. What would be less humane is if you don't do structural exclusion and you just trap them year after year after year to get rid of them.
Okay, yes or no question. Do bunnies usually stay in the same area year after year?
Yeah, pretty much. They only have a 2-acre territory. So,
okay.
I mean, bunnies in the wild, though, generally don't live more than a year. So it's their progeny that are occupying that same territory.
All right, we have one more. Rick has called with a quick bunny question. Rick, what can we do for you?
Not so much a question. I've got a home remedy for keeping bunnies away from your strawberries and other garden plants.
Oh, what's that?
You go to the store and you can pick up at any fertilizer store dried cow's blood. It's a good fertilizer for your plants, and rabbits come by, they smell the blood, they think there's a predator in the neighborhood, they leave your garden alone.
Thanks for the call, Rick. I appreciate that. What do you make of that, Rebecca?
You know, we've tested that. We've tested fox urine that you can get online, and we didn't have any success with it in our tests. But, you know, if a Carrie's prom night scene solution is worth trying in the garden to see if it might work at your home, go ahead and try it. There's no harm in doing it. But when we tried that, it didn't work for us.
So there's no harm in me hanging out with the fox, right? I mean, the fox will sometimes trot within 5 or 10 feet of me.
There's no harm in you hanging out with the fox as long as you abide by the motto, which is keep wildlife wild. So
wait a minute.
Yeah.
The key sentence there, you faded out. As long as what?
abide by our motto, which is keep wildlife wild. Yeah. So don't feed it, because that can acclimate it to nipping at people's hands or coming, you know, unnaturally close, losing its natural fear of people. So as long as you just coexist with it without feeding it or changing its behavior in any way, it is totally fine.
Yeah, I do not feed it. I know people who do feed animals. I don't like it. Rebecca Fife from Landmark Pest Control. Thanks, Rebecca.
My pleasure, Steve. Thank you.
You're listening to the Afternoon News. We're going to head into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up.